Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bob and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline is Mariners insider Shannon Dreyer. Shannon, we are just weeks away from spring training right now when pitchers and catchers will report, and then obviously when we're going to see the full team out there. And there are many, many faces I'm excited to see. It starts with Julio, but plenty of other guys. I got to say, though, I was talking to a friend the other day, and I asked him, who are you most excited about or interested in spring training? And he had one name that he went to right away, Jared Kelnick. What could be in store for Kelnick? What kind of pressure is on him? I mean, what are you most interested in when it comes to Kelnick's story in 2023?
Wow, there's a lot. And, you know, it's what, going to be a third straight spring training where all eyes are on him.
Yeah.
And so one of the things will be he's accustomed to that, but is he feeling pressure that it's time now? I don't think that's something that he's felt before. I think there's always kind of a pressure on him to be what he expects to be and hopes to be. But is there, you know, what is his demeanor when he gets there? It's an interesting time for him coming up this season. And, you hope that he starts to take those turns towards what he is supposed to be. And you know what? I think that Jerry DePoto really nailed it when he was asked last week on his hourly show on Brock and Salk, that, you know, what they're looking for him is basically consistency. And what we have seen from him is a good series or a good month or, you know, seeing the promise in a good approach. Now it's a matter of going out there and having some consistency. And that does not mean consistency as he's always got to be hitting home runs or he's got to, you know, have two hits in every game. But consistency, and when you look at week to week to week, you know, what he is doing in those six or seven games is similar and on a level that is productive to the team. And we're talking offensively. I don't think we're worried about the defense at this point. And B is perhaps starting to progress a little bit. So I think the biggest thing that you look for him is just to get him off that roller coaster. Some things that I'll be interested in particular is, in covering him, he strikes me as somebody that will take any advice. You know, stand on your head for 3 hours the night before a game and you're going to get three hits.
I've always been told that works.
Oh, it does, Stacey. Yeah. You've got to, be patient. And it usually takes 2 to 3 months before that really kicks in.
It's called sabermetrics, folks.
There you go. So, you know, my question, and he has gone and worked, in a different manner away from home in the off season. I don't have the full picture on that, and it's something I'm interested in hearing. I know it was in California. Who was he working with? Is he able to stick to that one approach, have that confidence in that approach, and tune out the other voices? So, you know, you look to see, A, what does he look like physically? Because that's always interesting. Is he the biggest guy in camp, or did he... Yeah, I don't want to say slim down, but, you know, he has a tendency to get a little too big. Scouts have told me that they are concerned about the long term for him, his flexibility. Can he do things because he gets too big? So what does he look like physically? Has he kind of reworked that a little bit? What does he look like at the plate? Is the stance the same? Is the swing the same? And then just kind of where he is with his head. And we've seen that, you know, everywhere from the brash, you know, young kind of budding superstar calling reporters over in spring training asking, hey, did you see that when he hits one out on a backfield? To a guy when he came up last time was very quiet, very reserved, almost seemed to have that chip on the shoulder and going out of his way to have that, but then kind of broke out of that after about a week. So I'm really, you know, kind of curious to see the total package from him in spring training.
There's only a couple guys that I look at on the Mariners team and say he probably played football in high school. And I think Kelnick might be one of those dudes, man. He's ripped up. But I want to ask you about Robbie Ray. I'm doing my reading, you know, getting familiar with these Mariners again. And I come across a article from Bleacher Report. 10 players looking to bounce back, and Robbie Ray was one of those guys. But they also pointed out after June 6th and 21 starts, he had a 3.06 ERA. When you look at Robbie Ray, he reintroduced the sinker. He made some changes. When you look at what you're looking forward to seeing out of Robbie Ray this season, this spring, what are you looking at?
very interested in Robbie Ray for some of the same reasons with Kelnick. I had heard that he was going to work on something specific in the off season, and that they were excited about that. We haven't heard what that is. Is it, you know, was there a velocity program? He definitely had a dip in the velocity last year, and I think that did hurt him. Is it a new pitch? He is not shy about working on a new pitch here or there. Is it refining that two-seamer? I think a lot going on there. I thought, again, Jerry DePoto's comments about him last week were a little bit interesting, and that he grouped him in with Marco Gonzalez and Chris Flexen as guys that are instrumental, and I agree with this. And when you are looking at the length of the season, when you've got guys that can go out there and A, make every start, and B, give you innings, that's important because you're looking for so many innings to cover in a season. And when you have young guys that you need to protect, like George Kirby, like Logan Gilbert still, especially coming off an extended last season and an extended season where they pitched far more innings than they've ever pitched before, that's important. But I'm wondering, you know, you like to think of Robbie Ray as more than somebody who's going to be that dependable guy who's going to get you those starts. So I'm interested to see, is there a new pitch? Is there more velocity? And talk to him. He's good at talking through his own game. What is his mindset for the season that is upcoming? And, you know, I look forward to, he's one of the first ones to check in with the pitching coach and say, okay, what did he do? What's different? And go from there.
Hey, I'm going to stick with pitching for this one. Logan Gilbert and George Kirby are coming into their third and second seasons, respectively. I think that for both men, but most especially, you know, Logan, just because I didn't know how high his ceiling could be. But for both pitchers, I have found myself so pleasantly surprised with them meeting and surpassing every expectation that it feels like we've had. And they've had some stumbles, but overall have proven once again that Jerry DePoto just has an eye for great young arms. What are their ceilings like potentially? I mean, what are they refining and adapting to as they kind of continue to establish themselves as big league starters?
I think George Kirby's rookie season was absolutely eye-opening. And I've said this before, if you went back, I think, 30 years, they used to have a split rookie of the year between the offensive player and the pitcher, and he would have won hands down on the pitcher side. It was so impressive what he did, and so impressive that the Mariners can bring up back-to-back starters like Logan Gilbert and George Kirby and have more coming this year. It's certainly a plus for the organization. And, you know, when you look at Kirby, I think you just look at him to continue doing what he is doing. He's seen the league. They have seen him. His final start of the season, you know, it was just absolutely spectacular. The postseason, for that matter, it was absolutely spectacular. You got to go home with a ton of confidence. Not that he needed it. He's had that from the get-go. So I think the biggest thing with him is you just want to make sure that you keep him healthy and that he doesn't fatigue, and how does he react to the innings that he had last year. He's just fine. I think a full season of George Kirby is about all that stands between him and a better performance than what we saw last year, because he did come up a little bit late. Logan Gilbert is a little bit different in that I'm still trying to figure out exactly who and what he is. He's a guy that when he was drafted, you know, I think a lot of people thought probably a really solid number two. And I'm talking about people outside of the organization. And then as we got to know him, got to know how he works, how he studies pitching, and how he adjusts, it seems like that ceiling was raised. And now it's been a couple of years. And I think, you know, kind of along the lines of Kelnick, but at a completely different level, he shows flashes. I mean, average Logan Gilbert is more than enough. That's great. But if you are able to get a little bit more, can you push him into that number one level? And I think that we see it from time to time. But again, you don't see that. You know, he's had rough August the past 2 years. Is it a matter of physically pushing through? Is it a matter of making adjustments within games? You know, is the curveball in or is it out? Is he going to go with that? Is that a pitch that, you know, what is his breaking ball along those lines, and is he going to be able to use that just to complement the rest of his pitches, or is it something that he needs to ditch? So I think he's still, you know, is at the leaving the level and the contribution of performance that he has had for the last couple of years. I think he has still been finding himself as a pitcher, as who he is and what he has. So I'm not sure what that ceiling is. I'm not sure if we've seen it yet or if some of the kind of peaks in the that we have seen in his performance are things that can be sustained for a longer amount of time. And I think that this year will probably tell that tale a little bit more.
Shannon, spring training, we're going to see a lot of bodies out there, a lot of guys that we're not going to see on opening day. But, you know, they've made some moves. You got Colton Wong, you got Teoscar, you got AJ. Do you anticipate any surprises in this lineup, or do we think what we see is what we're going to get at this point?
Oh, I think right now, yes, although Jerry DePoto is always open to that trade, and they've always got guys that are targeted. So it's probably best not to lock in 100% on that answer ever. And I think it is likely that's what we're going to see right now, but you never know. And I know that they are, you know, still kind of, I don't know if optimistic is the right word. I don't know if hopeful is the right word, but I don't think it's completely out of their minds at this point that there couldn't be a change. We are seeing some trades being made right now, but what you have to keep an eye on is what you are trading for, is that going to be, you know, significantly better than what you have, you know, enough to give up something for? And I think that's where it's going to be a little bit tougher. Are you going to see that kind of player traded at this late date? Not so sure about that.
Do you think that there's a new addition to this team, whether it's Teoscar or whether it's Colton? It really could be anyone, right? Or it could even be the return of someone who's healthy, anything that we are maybe underestimating, not paying enough attention to, that you think could be really impactful?
That's hard to say. I mean, when we're talking about we, I think that just kind of spans all sorts of different levels. You know,
yeah.
I think there are a lot of people that forgot that the Mariners traded for Teoscar Hernandez early on in the offseason. I'm wondering about, you know, the possibility of, you know, Teoscar's going to come in. He's going to hit bombs. That's going to be fantastic. That's going to happen.
Everyone loves
when you look over at second, everybody does.
Everybody.
I'm wondering in what I think could be a difference maker, but they're going to have to stick to it. Is, you know, how they utilize Dylan Moore and how they are, you know, do they truly go out there and are they able to get J.P. Crawford extra rest? It's something that's been talked about before. When it comes to the heat of battle, it usually doesn't happen. I got to have my best guy out there. You know, we got to win this game. And I'm wondering how significant that could be if they do actually get him consistent days of rest. You know, they've said for a long time he needs to get stronger. And we need to give him a break. And he was extremely beat up last year. And I'm wondering what impact that will have. As I'm also wondering, you know, Colton Wong, how are they going to utilize? Is it going to be a straight platoon? And how can they best utilize that? And so that's kind of where my intrigue will be. It'll be more of kind of a package deal or more kind of positional. Can you get more from shortstop? Can you get more from second base, regardless of who's in there? And I don't know if that's being overlooked or if that should even be being thought of, but that's something that I'm thinking of, that perhaps you can get a little bit more boost from those two positions.
Shannon, one of my favorite players was a spark plug for these guys last year. Sam Haggerty.
No, it's Ham Swaggerty.
It's Ham Swaggerty.
Ham Swaggerty.
Where does he fit into this equation? I mean, he's one of those guys I feel like are kind of forgotten, you know, with all the acquisitions or whatnot. What's his role on this team this year?
It'll be interesting because, first of all, you know, he's coming off injury, so you've got to make sure that he is healthy. And then I think that his best use, and this is one of the things that hurt them in the postseason, is if you can use him in the roles where you need to use him rather than where you have to use him. And particularly when you get down, you know, towards the postseason or in the postseason, I'd love to have him on the bench to be able to pull off of the bench and use that speed, although they might have guys at the end of the season that can do that. So I think his best use is not as a starter, is that they can spot him, if they can platoon him. His use will be mostly in the outfield. People are kind of get attached to, he was an infielder early on, and, you know, he's not a backup shortstop. That's not a position they feel comfortable putting him at. Could put him at second, and that's pretty much it. So his value right now is mostly in left field, and, you know, he played a very nice left field as well as, you know, provided that spark. So, you know, for him, the Mariners will be at their best if he is on the bench, and they can play him accordingly.
She is Mariners insider Shannon Dreher, kind enough to join us for a little bit of a preview. We'll look ahead to spring training. We are around in the corner, just a couple weeks away. Shannon, thank you so much.
Thanks, Shannon.
You got it.
See ya. All right, let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down bump, Tyler Huntley headed to the Pro Bowl as a replacement for Lamar Jackson and many others. What does this mean for him, and how should fans examine Pro Bowl selections when in debates?
Well, let me say, don't hate the play, hate the game.
Thank you.
He's just there.
In this case, the Pro Bowl game.
The Pro Bowl game. He was at the house, probably on the sticks, playing some NBA 2K, and got the call and was like, hey, you want to make some extra money in this Pro Bowl?
Yes.
For sure. But now this is what this does. It makes you look at the arguments. Okay, well, he has this many Pro Bowls. You got to go back and check. Was he an ultimate? Did he replace somebody? You have to really break down what a Pro Bowl selection means. You got to be one of the guys who were voted in as number one or number two to really gain that respect. Now, if I'm Tyler Huntley, I'm still putting it on my resume.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done and I'm retired and I'm going to these Forbes list companies and I'm saying, look, I'm a Pro Bowler, man.
Going on my LinkedIn tomorrow.
LinkedIn tomorrow. I might have only played in six games, but I completed 76% of my passes.
Hey.
Two touchdowns, three interceptions. Don't worry about that. No. I made it to the Pro Bowl. All this does is just makes the Pro Bowl conversation that much more complicated. Remember, Russell Wilson made the Pro Bowl as a replacement as well. So what does that do to his legacy? Not a lot, because he's got a lot of Pro Bowlers where he just earned it. I'm just saying, I'm thinking about dudes at the barbershop. When you're sitting around talking about Tyler Huntley when this is all over, how do you look at this Pro Bowl? A lot of things happened for him to get here. I just want to say congratulations. It ain't his fault. He's just showing up.
It's one of my favorite debates. Like that, I love those little twists to debates that you have with your friends when you're just hanging out. Like, well, wait a minute, but he was an alternate. And then you start saying, well, it's harder to be selected as a quarterback than an alternate for another squad. Just so good. So
love
good.
It.
All right, second down. We got numbers. The franchise tag numbers are in for quarterbacks. If Geno were to be franchised, he'd take up 14.5% of the team's salary. Why should we be okay with this?
We should be okay because a lot of people were saying 20% of the salary. I would never do that. $30 million is too much. You know what ain't too much? $32 million ain't too much, because that's 14.5%. Curtis Rogers pointed out earlier, Matt Ryan made 15%, made it to the Pro Bowl. The Super Bowl. Tom Brady made 12%, Super Bowl. Eli Manning made 11%. This isn't a lot of the cap. I understand when you see that number, you're thinking, oh my God, what are we going to do? Also, you have to realize the guys who are on the roster today aren't the guys who are going to be on the roster tomorrow. You can save money. Just yesterday, I saved this team $30 million. You think they're not looking to save an extra $25, $30 million? Of course you are. This is a young man's game, and you got to go cheaper in some positions. But you look at the quarterback spot, I don't think you can go cheap there. You got to go with what you know and who knows your offense. This isn't the cap number you're going to see at the end of the day. Guys are going to get cut. March 15th, the market opens up, and we're going to see what happens. So the salary cap is a confusing thing. It's a moving thing. It's a very fluid situation. I'm saying 14.5% of your salary for your quarterback who made the Pro Bowl, worth it. Cut some other guys, save some money, draft. Let's get it.
Third down. Who are some free agents you'd love for the Seahawks to pursue?
All right, free agents, it's that time of the year. I said March 15th, it opens up, right? So now I'm going to go on the cheaper end to start.
Okay.
All right? I'm going to go on the cheaper end. I'm going to go Draymond Jones from the Denver Broncos. We love us some Broncos over here.
Okay.
All right, he has 6.5 sacks, 28 cubic pressures. He had a 15.9 pass rush win rate. That's number six in the league. He's 26 years old. He's only going to be valued around $4 million, right? You want to go on the cheaper end, a guy who produces, that's the guy you look at. So now let's go spend some money, because people want to spend money elsewhere, but not at the quarterback,
money.
Right? You got to go with Deron Payne. We talked about this. KJ introduced this guy to the beautiful state of Washington. He had 11.5 sacks. He's 6'3", 320 pounds, and this guy can move, and he's powerful at the same time. 12.7% rush win rate. That is 12th in the league. He's going to be valued around $14 million. You want to spend some money on a guy in the box, you go and get him. So now let's go to that second level. Tremaine Edmonds. I love this dude over there in Buffalo. All right, he's great against the run. He plays downhill. You want violence in a football player? You look up the film on Edmonds, and you're going to see that. 66 solo tackles, one interception. He is valued at $12 million. So now what do you do with that linebacker position? You got Jordan Brooks over there. He's going to be out most of the year. Torres AC at the worst
worst time of the year. So now you're going to lean on Cody Barton. I know people are saying Cody didn't play that well. Cody knows this offense, excuse me, this defense, and he has a relationship. I'm going to bank that he's going to be here. You want to go help him out? Go get him a guy who can do it. You look at Edmonds. So on the cheaper end, you go Jones out of Denver. All right, we love us some Broncos over here. All right, and then you go Payne and you got Edmonds. Those are the expensive guys. Jones is a bit cheaper. Let's see what they do.
Fourth down. Patrick Mahomes. He's a household name. Even my mom knows who Patrick Mahomes is.
Right, my grandma do.
Right? Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Household name right now. Travis Kelce, household name. I don't know if my mom knows him, but that's okay. let's see. But let's talk about non-household names.
Yeah.
What are some non-household names in the Super Bowl people should be looking for to make some big plays? This is when you can impress your friends and be like, hey, guys, watch out for this guy.
I told you about this guy.
He could be good. I've been watching some film.
Who was the Super Bowl MVP for the Seattle Seahawks back in the day?
Malcolm Smith.
No one really knew who he was, but he had one of the biggest plays in Super Bowl history. And sometimes it happens like that. Guys who perform at a high level consistently throughout the season, you expect them to do their thing. But there's always a couple guys who do some things. These are my two guys. This guy made a play last week, and no one's really talking about it. He set up the field goal, essentially. I'm talking about Sky Moore for the Chiefs.
29-yard return.
29-yard return. If he can return the football and get behind the defense, this dude is fast. He's out of North Dakota State, one of the best FCS schools out there. If he can get behind the defense and make one or two plays, that's going to be a big deal, all right? And he's in the return game to see if he can shift field position. On the other side, I'm going Britton Covey. Out of Utah, the 25-year-old rookie. If you remember, against Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, he was doing his thing. The bright lights do not scare this young man. All right, he had returns, a return for a touchdown against Ohio State, another couple big returns. I'm looking in the return game, and I'm saying that's the hidden yardage. Those are the hidden yardage. These guys can make huge plays, one or two, and shift field position, change the identity of this game. I'm looking at the returners naturally because I was a returner back in the day. Sky Moore, Britton Covey, go get it. Remember those names. We're going to make plays.
This is What's on Tap with Bump and Stacey, brought to you by Dick's Drive-In. So, folks, what's on tap?
We heard from Shannon Dreher earlier this hour, and you can hear more from Shannon as she previews the Mariners season tonight on the Hot Stove starting at 7 p.m. right here on Seattle Sports. Coming up next, we head to the station for Hype Train.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
You are listening to Bump and Stacy. It's Tuesday. You know what that means. Curtis, let's head to the station for Hype Train. All right, here's how it works. I tell you a trend, a prediction in the world of sports this week. If you believe it, you're buying it. You're getting yourself a ticket. You're boarding the train. If you do not believe it, it's because it's nothing but a hype train. You are letting that thing go on by. Here we go. Bump, you are first. We'll go Curtis, then me. Your first hype train into the station is inspired by the NFC Conference Championship game. Brock Purdy was knocked out with what ended up being a UCL injury. He could be gone for 6 months there. Then Josh Johnson came in, QB4 for the San Francisco 49ers. He was later injured as well. Brock Purdy came in, could barely play. Niners ended up losing that game, putting up just one score because, well, frankly, they didn't have a quarterback at all. Kind of hard to win a football game that way. Here's the hype train, inspired by an old rule in which teams were allowed to have an emergency quarterback option, some flexibility with the game day roster. This is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. The NFL should bring back the emergency quarterback rule.
Should they bring back the emergency quarterback rule? If they did, then maybe the Niners look a bit more better against the Philadelphia.
Extremely better.
Probably. No, I don't think so. You know what I think you do? I think you get your backup ready. I think you have to be a coach and make sure everybody's ready so they don't have to get ready. But something tells me there's going to be a fuss about this because you didn't get the Niners' best shot. You played their JV squad, essentially. I'm not on that train, but I can see it happening.
Curtis, the hype train, is that the NFL should bring back the emergency quarterback rule. Bump says, nah, you know what you do? The rule doesn't exist, so you adapt around it. You get everyone ready. Are you boarding this train?
My question is, if you bring back the emergency quarterback, do you bring back emergency running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, offensive linemen?
Stop?
Where does it stop? It's a slippery slope, people. No, you don't bring back emergency quarterbacks. I think there's kind of a sick thrill I get in watching teams just fumble around with like a wide receiver taking snaps. It's like, ha, look at these guys. They have no chance of winning today. No, you don't bring back the emergency quarterback. Like Bump said, you got to coach up everybody. Also, Juwan Jennings, 49ers receiver, was one of the top 10 highest-ranked quarterbacks in his high school class coming
Why
out of high
that
school.
Guy get in there?
Why is he not taking snaps after
Seriously?
Josh Johnson? This guy was one of the most talented quarterbacks in high school when he was playing. It made no sense to me that like Kyle Juszczyk at one point was going to be used as the emergency quarterback. No. Kyle Shanahan, you don't even know the personnel on your roster. I do. I should be coaching.
There's absolutely no way he didn't know that about Juwan Jennings, right?
Like,
if you're Juwan Jennings, you go up to Kyle Shanahan and practice, hey, coach, hey, I know we're short-staffed. I just got to let you know I got a cannon.
Every good athlete in the NFL played quarterback at some point. At some point
but
in their little
top
career.
Top 10 quarterback?
Nah, not top 10.
Bump, I know that you aren't about to. Were you a top 10 quarterback?
I wasn't top 10. I got some offers, though. Got some offers.
You did?
Yeah. Service academies.
Wow, from where?
Temple offered me. Indiana offered me.
As quarterback?
Yeah.
Dang, another life. You know what? For fun, I'll tell you what. What's the NFL, Bump? What is the NFL?
Not for long?
No.
No freaking loyalty?
No.
What?
No. What
fun
is the
league?
NFL? Curtis, what's the NFL?
A football league?
An entertainment league.
Entertainment league.
Okay.
Exactly what it is. The NFL, yeah, it's the National Football League, but it's also an entertainment league. That's what makes it a multi-billion dollar industry, the richest sports league in all of the nation. It's because people tune in. It is the most watched program. The top, like, what, 20, 30 shows every single year are NFL games
right.
that year. I mean, people tune in to watch these games. What happens when you don't have a quarterback? It hurts the entertainment of your product. Raise your hand if you thought that game was wildly entertaining. Anyone?
Anyone out there?
My hand is not up either. Curtis's hand is not up. Now, I don't know that an extra quarterback rule would mean that suddenly the league is more entertaining, but I'm just going to, you know, board the train just to have a little bit of fun here. Next time, train into the station. All right, well, we've heard that Aaron Rodgers could be traded to the Jets, but this is less about Aaron and more about another quarterback. He doesn't need to be traded because he's a free agent right now. Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady could go to an AFC team. Could that AFC team be the Raiders? Well, if it is, here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. Tom Brady makes the Raiders an immediate Super Bowl contender.
Man, that's my pick. I see him going to the Raiders, but contender. You got to think about what's going on in the AFC.
Too much.
You got Josh Allen. You got Pat Mahomes. You got Justin Herbert. You got Joe Burrow. I don't think he makes them a automatic contender. I think that towards the end of the season, if things go right, if guys stay healthy, if he performs better than he did this past season, there's a possibility. But just him being on that football team, I don't think so. A lot of things have to happen for him. He's got to show that he's still got it. And they need a defense. The Raiders never have a good defense. He needs help.
Curtis, the hype train is that Brady to the Raiders makes Vegas an immediate Super Bowl contender. Are you boarding?
I'm not boarding this train because the guy who is ultimately in charge in Vegas is Josh McDaniels.
That guy
is a terrible head coach. He will never win anything of importance as head coach. He is destined to be a coordinator. He's destined to be Bill Belichick's right-hand man. That is his perfect role. He will not be that in Vegas. He wasn't that in Denver. Like, why do people continue to give him chances as head coach? Tom Brady is not going to be even a top five quarterback in the AFC if he does go to Vegas. He's 46 years old. There was obvious signs this season that father time is catching up to him finally at age 45. Tom Brady would not give the Raiders a championship opportunity.
Yeah, I'm not boarding that train either. Last hype train into the station. Now, this one requires you to think about every single quarterback in the league except for one. I'm taking one off the table. I think we could all say Patrick Mahomes right now, best quarterback in the NFL. I don't know anyone that's disagreeing. That's not your hype train. That's how I'm starting this hype train. Patrick Mahomes is number one. Well, you got a lot of choices for number two. I mean, you got, of course, Josh Allen in there. You've got a couple other guys. Justin Herbert, what could he be? Trevor Lawrence was in there in the playoffs this year, but this is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. Joe Burrow is the second best quarterback in all of football right now.
All of football. This guy is making a case for that. Didn't get it done against Pat Mahomes in the game, but who are we talking about? We're talking Pat Mahomes, Herbert, Tom Brady, Cousins, Burrow, Goff, Allen, Geno, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, and Aaron Rodgers, just to name a few. If the game is on the line,
yeah,
and it's time to win a ball game,
yep, you get
if I'm not
choice.
Picking Pat Mahomes,
correct.
I'm picking Joe Burrow. I think he is the second best quarterback in this league, man, and it happened pretty quickly. And to see him bounce back from that devastating knee injury and then to come back without an offensive line, the offensive line is still suspect. He's still getting it done. If he could get a run game, if Zach Taylor can develop a consistent run game, go draft this man a running back, who knows what they can do. Cool Joe's number two.
The hype train, Curtis, is that Joe Burrow is the second best quarterback in all of football. Bump is boarding, are you?
Absolutely, I'm boarding. Joe Burrow, even though he lost the AFC Championship game this year and the Super Bowl this last year, that's still an incredible amount of winning that you've done in your first 3 years. Like, Cincinnati is set up for life for as long as they want to continue having Joe Burrow as their starting quarterback. I would love to have him quarterback in my favorite team. If you can't have him, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow is not a bad number two. I think he has surpassed Josh Allen on that rankings. But I think those two guys, Allen and Burrow, they have the most pressure on them now to become the next Super Bowl winners. So there's that, obviously, over the next couple of seasons. But, yeah, I'm taking Joe Burrow.
The weird thing about the pressure on Josh Allen and Joe Burrow is I don't know that there's pressure to be number one. I think almost unanimously people think it's Mahomes. So it's like, just be number two. And I'm also boarding this train. I also think it's Joe Burrow. All right, that will do it for Hype Train today. What I need to know is coming up next. Get your questions in right now, 866-979-3776. Your questions, our answers next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
It is What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get your questions in now to the Matt Jacks text line, 866-979-3776. What I Need to Know. Bump, I always like asking for these like random life questions, so I'm going to start with this one. It's just really random. What I need to know, my wife and I sleep with our own blankets. Is that weird?
Kinda.
Really?
I've never heard of that. You know what I think of? Separate covers. I think of like the 50s when they had like twin beds.
Two twin beds in there.
I think the old school like that. Me and my wife, though, we have a king size bed and she wants to down size to a queen. I refuse.
Do not give in on that because when Brenna and I were first married, we started off with a queen and there was a lot of elbows on each other. That's not fun. We upgraded to a king and it's like,
it's amazing.
My own area code.
Yeah, stay away from me.
Yeah.
I love it. And I got kids who creep into the bed at night. You know, I wake up with two of the bodies in there sometimes.
I wouldn't say it's weird. I'd say it's probably less common. But if it's because it's just what you guys, you know, it helps get you to sleep and you're comfortable with it. You know what I mean?
That's the thing is, there are no bad sleep aids. If something can help you sleep through the night, then do it.
Yeah.
Like, I had really bad snoring. My wife made me take a sleep test. Now I have a CPAP machine. Like, I have to use that in order to sleep through the night. It's weird, sure, but it gets the job done.
What I need to know. I'm on my way to Putts?
The golf store?
To buy a new golfing driver. I'm wondering if there's any other stores you might recommend. Comma. Bump. He didn't add comma bump, but I'm adding it.
Yeah.
You know, Pro Golf Discount, if you want to work out a deal, since I'm mentioning you right now, Pro Golf Discount. Several locations, Bellevue, Linwood, you know. I will go to Pro Golf Discount. Love it.
All right. Although we're honoring what I need to know, although we're honoring Felix this summer with the Mariners Hall of Fame induction, do you think the M's would allow Teoscar Hernandez to wear Felix's number 34? It would make our Felix jerseys relevant again.
Nah.
That's not happening.
Well, Hernandez, Teoscar wears, what, 37? I don't know how open he's going to be to switching. I especially don't know how open the Mariners are going to be to just being like, you know what? We don't want you to have to buy another one.
Like, the Mariners have a few.
Any player named Hernandez, we're just going to make sure he's wearing 34. Well,
that's like how people were like, why didn't Julio wear number three? Because Alex Rodriguez wore number three here. We wouldn't have had to repurpose anything, and also would have given three a better vibe amongst the fan base. But it's like,
you want to be your own.
Exactly.
Be your own man.
And also, like, the Mariners have taken some numbers out of circulation. Haven't necessarily retired them, but they've taken them out. Like 19, you don't see anybody wearing Jay Buhner's number. 51, obviously, that's going to get retired.
I never thought I would like 44. But the way Julio wears it, just
because he has so much swag. He's so talented. He's such a big guy that it just works out.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's a number that's unforgivable on someone based on body type?
Based on body.
Dudes can't wear single digits.
Yeah. I had to get used to Dunlap in 8.
No, I'm talking wide dudes.
Like D-line, O-line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine an O-lineman with 7.
4. Yeah.
Same right.
I know. What I need to know, assuming Brock Purdy was healthy, would you rather have seen the 49ers in a Super Bowl?
I don't say I would rather have seen them in the Super Bowl. I would rather have seen what a healthy matchup looks like.
Yeah.
Niners versus Philly. Felt like Philly, just kind of punked their way in there. Not their fault. They can't control who's healthy or not. But, just wasn't a fair fight in my opinion.
I'm going to add a twist onto this listener question for the two of you. If you could, in hindsight, now pick any two teams to face off in the Super Bowl, which two teams would you pick? You get
from
to pick
this season?
From this season, you get to pick the teams. They don't even have to be good. You just get to pick them up and plop them in there. So, okay, let me take the Seahawks off the table. Let me take the Seahawks off the
Chiefs
table.
Chiefs and Eagles is a pretty fun matchup.
I would go,
boring answer.
Just to stay away from this matchup. I like this matchup. Let's not get it twisted. I like this matchup. But I would go the Bills.
Oof.
And go old school. Go Bills and Cowboys. See what happens there.
That'd be a good one. You know what's also really sad is I immediately thought, I wish I could choose the AFC Championship game.
Oh, Bengals Chiefs.
Yeah.
You think that's going to be what determines, that's going to be the eventual Super Bowl winner?
Well,
kind of like how 2013 it was the 49ers and Seahawks, and you knew whichever team won that was probably going to beat the AFC.
There's a listener, we were talking about the great quarterbacks that are in the league right now and how tough it is, the road to the Super Bowl through the AFC right now. Someone texted in, which I thought was simple, but also weirdly insightful, right? There are lots of other factors, but I was thinking about it after the show. They were like, the AFC was also bad for a really long time.
It was.
And all these teams were able to rack up, Trevor Lawrence, number one overall pick, Joe Burrow, number one overall pick, Mahomes, 10, and the Chiefs have been actually pretty good for a while, including when they had Alex Smith, but still had years of, up until, after 2010 or so, struggle.
Tackle for the Chiefs Super Bowl winner was Eric Fisher, was the number one overall pick by Kansas City. So it's not like Mahomes was their only early draft pick.
Well, I guess what I was going to say is, do you think part of why we're seeing so many talented quarterbacks in the AFC right now has some kind of correlation to how bad that conference was for so long?
Most definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I thought it was a pretty insightful kind of thing. Let's see. What I need to know, where is Brian taking you for Valentine's Day? Well, first let me ask you two so that I'm not stealing the spotlight here. What are you guys doing for Valentine's Day?
I don't think that far ahead, Stace.
You don't? What? You're actually married.
I am,
it's
but
2 weeks from today?
Yeah, we got time.
Yeah.
We've done a lot, so I got some time.
Curtis, I feel like your answer is going to be the same.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about it right now.
Yeah. Obviously, Candy will be involved. My wife has a big sweet tooth, so we'll go with that. She's also pregnant, so she's got a lot of pregnancy cravings. So, and a lot of that has to do with sweet candy. She came home the other day with three or four bags of sweet tarts and I think she brought some Warheads home. I was like, you don't even like Warheads. She's like, I know, but I was craving them for whatever reason. So
we're just going to go to the space station.
Yeah.
And have a romantic old dinner up there.
Dinner in space.
Now. I know. Last question will be quick. Which Seattle sports team is closest to winning a championship?
The Mariners, right?
Hope it's the Mariners. It's not the Kraken.
It's the Storm. The Storm.
Oh, okay.
The Storm. Rita Stewart.
She doesn't come back. I'm going to stick with the Mariners because I'm going to will it to happen. It would be great if it happened in 2023.
Which, by the way, tomorrow. We're out at T-Mobile Park.
We are out at T-Mobile Park. Reminder for you guys and myself. Thanks, Curtis. All right, that'll do
it. Yeah, that was mainly for you, Stacey. Yeah.
So you thought you we were done with the show?
To the ballpark.
Stacey, we're there tomorrow. We're there tomorrow, guys. Here we go. Join us. All right, again, we will be back with you guys tomorrow, 10 a.m. from T-Mobile Park. Looking forward to some really cool guests. For Michael Bumpus, for Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Ross. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.